This is Green Tagged, Theme Park in 30, from Scott Swenson and I. And on today's show, we discuss the announcement from Warner Brothers to shift all of their 2021 films over to streaming, and the reopening of Cirque du Soleil and Universal Studios Japan, along with the trend of museums to offer virtual tickets to some of their experiences. We'll be back with the regular Haunt News briefing on Tuesday and Thursday of this week. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Green Tagged, Theme Park in 30, for another week. I'm Scott Swenson, and I'm here with my co-host, Philip Hernandez. Hey, Philip.
Well, hello, Scott.
What? No howdy? Oh, that's wonderful. All right. I think we finally broke into that habit. That's great. So here we are for another week of what's going on in the world of theme park and attractions. I've started the countdown. We have a bunch of stuff that we want to talk about here, and we will try to get through all of it. This is a big list for this show. So we'll see what we can do. Since it's a big list, we're going to start off with some of the big moves. And these are big moves throughout the industry. I think the first one we want to talk about is Warner Brothers. And it's now saying that all 2021 films will be streamed right away. So in other words, they'll have both a theatrical release and a streaming release simultaneously. And the article basically points out that this is I want to call it a one-year trial experience, because I think, you know, the industry knows that they have to keep their movie theaters happy, and they have to also make money. So they're trying to figure out a way to kind of, I think, be a servant to two masters, but I think in turn it's going to end up being a transition. What do you think, Philip?
It's 100% transition. I mean, there's no testing about it. The day this article came out, AMC stock dropped 17%. So there you go. And it's just, this is something I wish Disney had done something more like this. Like, to me, this is kind of an all-in, you know, Warner Brothers is like, the day they're hit theaters, they're also going to hit HBO Max. And done. Like, one and done. And I wish that Disney in there, with all their bluster about their direct-to-consumer thing, had kind of gone all in on this, you know, because Disney still remains where they're trying to release stuff at different times in China and across the world. And they also still maintain their cable networks for some unknown reason, even though they've been losing tens of millions of viewers on their channels every year cumulatively. It's like there's a lot of puzzling things about that, despite what they say to shareholders. And I think that once Warner Brothers has done it, I do believe a lot of other people are going to follow. Like, I think
It all depends on whether they make money at it.
I don't think that anyone will wait to see if they make money. I think it's going to be a domino. I think that you'll see other studios that will say, okay, well, now we have the justification to our board to do it by just saying, look at what Warner Brothers is doing.
I think you view movie theaters or movie companies, not theaters, movie companies as way too forward thinking, but we'll see. We'll see. Because I'll be honest, I think this is something that I don't even necessarily think this is COVID related. I think this is something that was going to happen anyway.
Oh, yes.
And I think it's just happening now in perhaps an accelerated manner. Maybe not. I don't know. But it's happening now because there's a perfect justification for it. And that is nobody's able to go out. So we're going to do what we've really been planning to do for the last 10 years. And we're going to do it now.
Well, COVID is an accelerant in all of these cases.
Yep.
And it's especially an accelerant even with attractions. And just thinking about, you know, the experience of going to a movie theater has not changed. And it definitely has not gotten better. And that is something we have to think about as well. Like Scott has been saying, and we've been saying multiple times, you know, think about ways you can do a better experience, or at least something that's not just a watered down version. And the movie theaters have not really ever gotten better. You know, it's bad. Most of them, still the vast majority, are bad food or no food. It's really high prices. You go in to cramped seatings. There's very few of them don't still even offer reservations, and some of them just started last year. Like, it's a terrible, terrible experience. And we think about that in parallel to attractions and thinking, like, you know, our experiences need to evolve to keep up, you know, this online ticketing trend, this reservation trend, you know, the people saying that, you know, all the guests saying that their experience going to Disney World in a pandemic was the best experience at Disney World that they've had. Right. Those should be telling us, you know, these all should be telling us, you know, it's not necessarily that safe to just kind of sit back and keep doing the same thing. You know, I was still, even this year, I was astonished. I probably shouldn't have been, but I was astonished at the number of haunted houses that didn't even offer online ticketing in the middle of a pandemic. And people just had to wait in long lines outside.
But again, I think in many cases, it's the fear. It's like, I don't know exactly how to do this. And, you know, if you're talking about haunted attraction owners, especially private haunted attraction owners, they don't ever want to admit that they don't know how to do something. So they were afraid of it. They chose not to do it simply because they thought it would, quote unquote, cost too much. But I promise you, those who chose to do even something as basic as Eventbrite, which is sort of like the finger paint of online online ticketing, made significantly more money. So yeah. I think it's a question of fear. I think it's a question of, you know, how can we make this happen? Because quite honestly, and maybe it's regional. I know here in Florida, at least, movie theaters have always been popular in Florida because it's hotter than all get out over the summer and you need some way to get out of it and enjoy something. So many movie theaters here in Florida had already expanded into the larger, more comfortable seats because I'm not a tiny person. So I need a big comfy seat when I go to the movies. And there was very little in-person ticketing even before COVID here. At the very least, it was walk up at kiosk style. So, you know, you'd walk up to a touchscreen, you go, I want to see this movie too. Here's my card, boom, go. And you could also purchase any sort of popcorn or whatever. And I will be honest, there are certain films that I would much rather see in a theater setting. And I've got a pretty decent system in my home, but if it's a big action film, I want the audience live interaction to go along with it, because I think that makes it even more exciting. And then I'll go back and study its artistic qualities later on my own TV. So I actually feel that they're two different experiences, and to offer them at the same time, I don't think is necessarily competing with one another. I think it is opening and expanding your demographic, because there are people younger than I am who couldn't care less about going to a movie theater and are happy to watch it on their phones. So great. Appeal to both of us.
Something I want to tie in now is very quick is some research that was released on the Thanksgiving Black Friday shopping trends. And so the big highlights are that the online shopping hit a record 5.1 billion over Black Friday, which is over that Thanksgiving holiday, which is a 21.5% increase on 2009, which well, I was like hopeful to hear that, but I was also like, hopeful and not hopeful. Like on the one hand, it does make sense. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, there are so many retailers not able to open. And so that kind of a thing. But the second part of it was that, 47% of a piece of the sales, happened via mobile. So a big chunk of them happened via mobile. So
nearly 50%.
Yeah, nearly 50% happened via mobile. And that is a huge deal. And I think that back to what even Scott was just talking about and what we were talking about in terms of improving our attractions, those kind of improvements are necessary. Thinking about not just online ticketing, but are you set up to transact mobily? And people are responding even this year. So are you doing online merch sales? Are you doing a way to let people buy gifts, buy merchandise from your attraction online via their phone? Is that a possibility? Because people clearly, that's the trend, clearly, in terms of how people are sending their spending habits. So,
well, and it also goes back to what we've been saying about crisis in general. And that is the only way to prepare for the next crisis is to be prepared, is to continually plan so that you've got multiple streams of multiple revenue sources, multiple supply streams, so that, you know, when one shuts down, you can put more effort into the other. So I don't think it's an either or. I don't think that movie theaters are going to go away. I think they're going to be another offering. And I think that in this transition, I think we're going to discover what that other offering is. They may reduce, but there are still going to be people for, I would guess, at least another 15 to 20 years that are going to want to go to a movie theater and see a film in its, and I say that because, you know, my generation's going to die out. But I think that at least for another 15 to 20 years, that's going to be a viable option. And I think it is smart to not necessarily put all your eggs in one basket, because who knows, we could have the sun nova and all of a sudden all of our communications drops. So these become very expensive paperweights. So
I don't disagree with you. I'm just in my, like, I have no evidence to support this other than I just think it would be great if we saw somebody like Apple purchase, you know, all the major movie theater brands, or Amazon, or, you know, they could split them up and Apple could have one and Apple's like have the other. I just think it'd be great.
You love these monopoly situations.
I just love chaos. I just think it would be
great. Not chaos. That's oligarchy. That's, we're good. We will control the world. Sorry to all of my German friends for that really bad German accent, but it's one of those, we are going to, I'm hoping that the independent theater owners will find ways to make their own products unique, and we can create this great sense of competition out there, and we can create a great sense of capitalism, because I'm all for that. I would much rather have that than have, you know, Apple. Here, you can either go see Apple movies or you can go see Google movies, and there's nothing else. I would hate that. So I think we're saying the same thing. We have a different way of approaching it, but I think we're saying the same thing. We would love to see that people would continue to recognize there's value in both. It's not a light switch to one or the other, I think.
Well, the next big move we have to bring up is Cirque du Soleil is resuming shows in the US, but until summer 2021.
Hey, at least they're making plans. You know, they're under new ownership now. And I like the fact that not only are they coming back, they're planning to come back with touring shows. They're also planning to come back with, they've just signed, what is it, 5 different Vegas properties have signed on to do another 5 years, something like that, which shows great confidence, certainly for the new owners. I'm sure they're happy about it. And I'm thrilled. And of course, the Walt Disney World show is going to be the first one to come back.
Of course.
It's just the way it is, but it's also, I think it makes sense because they've got a captive audience. They can control the situation a lot better. I'm thrilled Cirque is coming back because I love that kind of stuff. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people are going, I'm just kind of Cirqued out. I've seen too much Cirque, but now that it's gone away for a little while, I know a bunch of people who are going to be waiting to go see the next touring show. So ready to buy those tickets.
Well, I am more interested in following this trend to see when everybody is shooting to open live performances in full again. And it seems like if Cirque is, and they're a big company, if they're saying summer, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a lot of other smaller venues, and just overall we saw collectively us try and pick summer 2021 as a time to open in-person live theater. Obviously it's going to be again a local thing. You know, I don't think summer 2021 for anything California or Los Angeles is will be viable, but Orlando's obviously already open now. So I think, I'm just curious to see where everyone's going to land on when we're trying to reopen.
Well, and I think everybody's doing what we're doing. I mean, we're just kind of looking out at the market going, okay, well, so-and-so is trying this. This country's trying this. Florida's doing this. California's doing this. Let's see what happens. Because there's another, you know, the big V word. Once the vaccine comes in, who knows what the situation is going to be. I mean, we were just talking before the show that Qantas has now announced that people can't fly without having the vaccine. Now they didn't announce a start date, so I don't know whether that's in effect right now or not. Obviously not here in the States because it hasn't been approved yet, but there in the UK there is a version of the vaccine that has been approved and is being distributed. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a key factor. How safe do people feel and how safe are they really? And I think those two elements combined are going to help dictate a lot of what's going to happen in the attractions industry in general.
Yep. And I do believe that Qantas saying, you know, we are going to require this at a future date that they didn't disclose, that's going to be again another domino. You know, Qantas is part of the whole One World, which is the American Airlines network, and I think that I could at least foresee that the people in the, you know, American Airlines network are going to I think that the big roadblock that I've been hearing from the airline side is just deciding on what the metric is going to be and what the reporting system is going to be so that at least travelers have a unified way of doing it. And it sounds simple. It's not simple, but also I don't think it's insurmountable. And so I think we will arrive there at some point. And then you have to ask the question, of course, is how is that going to impact the recovery of the business and international travel to the US, which if you remember from last week, listeners, we talked about how those are two of the big factors driving the prolonged recession of tourism here in the US is the decline in those two types of travel. So how will the impact of airlines potentially requiring vaccinations and will the US do that or not? Or will we just let people come in? How's that going to go? Very interesting. Big moves. Well, that's why these are big moves.
As far as tracking, I think it's interesting because as somebody who travels quite a bit, I went ahead and I now have global entry. So I have not only TSA PreCheck, but I have it internationally, which was easy to do. I mean, it's basically just a background check and registered with the government and I have my card and all that. I can see that they could very easily just add data to that card saying vaccinated. You know, has received the vaccine. It's sort of like microchipping our pets when they get their rabies shot or whatever. You know, it's a way to track that data. I think it's easy to track. And personally, I support it fully because whether the vaccine is 100% successful or not, it shows that we are continuing to make choices that will make it safer to travel, which will in turn help the attractions industry in general, especially brand new attractions like Super Nintendo World, which is opening February 1st, scheduled to open February 4th, 2021 in Japan. I will tell you, this is not one of those, oh gosh, I can hardly wait to ride Mario Kart for me. However, having seen some of the videos that have come out and some of the design stuff, this looks so cool. I can see people who've been playing, you know, Mario Brothers since they were infants taking their children to this and just having, well, which is up to now really only been available at Disney, that multi-generational, oh my gosh, toe curling moment. This looks like it's going to be really cool.
I agree. I think that we don't need to talk too much about it because there are already whole podcasts and vlogs dedicated to this, and you really should go look at it. What I think is stunning about it is how close to the renderings, you know, that the end product came out in. And I think it represents almost a continuing of this new chapter for Universal. You know, for a very long time, I think Universal, a lot of us in the industry kind of had Universal on a lower quality tier. And they're very quick to turn around stuff. And so we're like, kind of like, oh, you know, it isn't. And then you have Disney, which takes forever, but they, you know, put out these perfect masterpieces. And then, you know, Harry Potter happened and we started to see a tilt in the level of detail that they're putting into lands and into areas and still keeping it very quick, you know, keeping the timelines, you know, very quick for our industry, but delivering incredibly detailed lands that people just go gaga over. And now we have this, and I think it has all the same indicators. It's a very detailed land. People are already going gaga about it, and they haven't even opened yet. Especially Americans are going crazy about it. So I think it'll be, I think if Universal continue this trend, it is great for our industry. It does bring in a lot more robust IPs and robust competition and just a robust brand. And then also the selfish reason I'm excited about this is that the land could almost be called, you know, Super Mario Land illuminated by Gantam. There are
good for you.
Thousands of fixtures. Most of the stuff that lights up in that land is a Gantam fixture. So I'm just saying, that's part of what makes it so immersive.
Yes. Lighting. I don't know.
No, the lighting that you don't see. You don't see
but, again, that's you know? But that's far more important than the lighting that you do see. The lighting that you do see looks theatrical. The lighting that you don't see really creates reality. So I think that's great. And kudos to Gantam and everybody on your team, Philip, because that's very cool. That's very, very cool. So in for those of you who aren't going to be able to get your vaccine, hop on a Qantas plane and fly to Japan, there's a whole bunch of organizations that are offering streaming content right now. That is I think super cool, and again, just another avenue to get stuff out there. The first one, the National Gallery has developed a new revenue stream, and they're charging £8 for an online tour of one of their exhibits, which was actually scheduled to close, I believe, what was it, mid-January, and now you can spend. Just the equivalent of £8, whatever that is, in whatever country you happen to be listening from, and you're able to tour that entire exhibit. The Design Museum has also announced a virtual tour of electronic from Kraftwerk to Chemical Brothers, which I think sounds super cool. The online curated tour of the sellout exhibition is about the same, about $7.99, so it's about £8. And if you don't want to spend any money at all and you just need a way to sort of get away and relax, Monterey Bay Aquarium has made 2 hours of kelp forest to study and relax to, which I checked it out. I thought, well, let's see what this is all about. It's on YouTube. You'll find the link in our show notes. And it's remarkably relaxing. And I think it's a great way to sort of visit the kelp forests that are part of the aquarium, without going there. It keeps the brand top of mind, and it's certainly a way for those people who need a little relaxation in this stressful time, in this new time. It's a way to kind of chill, and it's got a great sort of chill hip hop soundtrack to it, which is kind of neat. So check it out. Like I said, the link will be in the show notes. So those are some things that you don't have to travel to experience.
Mm-hmm. There are also things that are attractions doing what we have been talking about, which is finding new ways to diversify revenue and future-proofing, you know, figuring out ways to try and future-proof, test how online, you know, will online exhibits work? You know, will selling tickets to them work? For the longest time, you know, we've seen museums, even like we reported on last week, that are creating content that is free, you know, free educational content. So will educational content that you're paying for work as a revenue stream? I think that nowadays people are much more willing to pay for content when we see all these Patreon and micro subscribers. So I applaud it. And also using your assets. Good job, Monterey Bay Aquarium, for utilizing their assets mm-hmm. in a way. And all these guys, you know, utilizing some of their physical assets to create digital paid assets. So good job.
And to train the audience to make that an acceptable option. So I think that's great. Get comfortable using it and then you can start charging for it. So I think that's a great progression for all those educational facilities. All right. So now let's talk Disney. I know, Philip, you want to talk Disney. Let's talk Disney. Here's another Disney minute from Philip. They've been doing a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't even know. Almost too much stuff to really dig too deep into. So we're going to give you very quick highlights on this. Disney talked about this concept of creating a theme park metaverse. Yikes. So we're linking to this so you can read about it. From what I understand, it's still very, very like top line blue sky. It's not very detailed. Like this isn't a thing that we're like next year introducing Disney theme park metaverse. They do describe that it is will integrate physical data and digital elements to enhance the guest experience using such stuff as AR, mobile apps, artificial intelligence, natural language understanding, computer vision. So I'm wondering if this ties into the MAD systems thing that we talked about, you know, previously about personalized experience. I'm wondering how much it's that and how much what is what here, because I thought it was pretty vague. But this came during the IAPA Expo virtual conference previously. I do think it's interesting. It's an interesting concept of the concept of a metaverse and of you have multiple properties and of tying together, if they go fully in this direction, of tying together all the properties together into a narrative, which could be very well where they're going because it makes sense with the Starship, the cruise liner. We talked about how the hotel is, you know, using the Disney property as part of the experience of the hotel where you dock at, you know, you dock and you go into the park to go into a world, and then you for an excursion and you come back. So that, who knows where this will be, but it's an interesting direction.
I think it's smart. I think it's actually kind of taking what we've been talking about finding different ways to share your content. I think it's taking it to a whole nother level, as Disney is wont to do. My only concern is how quickly can they roll it out and how quickly will people adapt to it? Because I think it may be, you know, this may be the, what was it, Disney America that was supposed to happen in Virginia. This may be one of those, let's hurry, because there's really a lot of interest in this area. And then when the interest goes away, it kind of goes. So mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. Speaking of Disney, Joe Rohde, who has done so much. I mean, Animal Kingdom, probably the biggest feather in his cap, has finally retired after 40 years. And I had the opportunity to meet Joe a couple of times at a couple of different sessions, ceremonies, etc. He would have no idea who I am, but he was a visionary, a very creative guy. Some people actually referred to him as just this sort of whack job because he is such a genius. And he's one of those people that is almost so smart, so creative that he has, you almost feel as though he has trouble living on this planet. But who cares, because he brings to this planet such incredible things. So congratulations, Joe. Enjoy your retirement. We'll see where you go next, because something tells me you're not going to sit at home and read books. So. Mm.
And to wrap up on very quick updates, of course, Hong Kong Disneyland unveiled their new plans for a new Castle of Magical Dreams. It's already opened at the Hong Kong part, but it's a big expansion to the castle and a lot of refurb. They've been working on that for a while. Almost every time I've gone to Hong Kong Disneyland, it's been like the castle has been obstructed with renovation. And I was a little sad. And now I'm hoping I can get back to actually see the renovated option. And locally in Florida, Disney World is planning to open up the park hopper option again, beginning in January. The basic premise is that you still have to make a reservation for the primary park that you have to attend. And once you attend that, you're able to park hop after 2 p.m. And they're going to play with that window and play with that time. I think that is indicative of their going to increase capacity in the next year. And I think that should be indicative to all of us that they're predicting demand to be pretty, to be present at least beginning in, as we get survive the winter. And then they also, of course, after IAAPA and et cetera, they released a list of attractions that they're renovating and doing updates on, et cetera, which we'll link in the show notes. So.
Something else that we're really going to link into the show notes, because we're almost out of time, and I just want to make sure that we address these big issues. The Themed Entertainment Association has announced the newest Thea Award recipients. We're not going to dive into those really at all in the show. We're just going to make you all aware of them. You can go dive in on, the links will be in the show notes, but you can dive into that on your own. Please check it out. There's some great work. There's some really exciting work there. And speaking of exciting work and exciting individuals, the IAAPA Hall of Fame has announced three new inductees. And one I'm going to focus on only because he was kind enough and gracious enough to attend. Was it last year, Philip?
Yes, I did confirm it was last year. It feels like longer.
It does.
2020 is the year that never ends. But it was just last year at the Gaylord Palms, yes.
At our leadership seminar. And it was Greg Hale. And we had the opportunity to have him attend and participate in our brainstorming workshop. And it was... He seemed to have a great time. I didn't talk to him a ton afterwards, but he seemed to have a wonderful time. And congratulations to Greg and to Matt Sweden and to Tony Baxter as well, who are all the newest inductees in the IAAPA Hall of Fame. Again, not nearly as much time as these brilliant people deserve. So please check the link in the show notes to find out more about who they are, what they've done. But I just, since Greg was at the leadership symposium, I just wanted to call that out, because it's like, gosh, I know him. You know, I feel like.
And he was so gracious too. That was the thing that really, you know, I think sometimes when you talk about Joe, when you talk about these people that have, that are, I guess, legendary status, you know, you're worried about them being not approachable. But as we know, the true legends are people that maintain the curiosity throughout their entire career. And I was just stunned that Greg showed up. He could have easily showed up and been like, who are you all to do a workshop? I should be, you know, kind of that. Mm-hmm. But he was so open, and he, you know, we had participated.
He didn't just sit in the back with his arms folded going, yeah, these upstarts are doing okay, you know, and he participated. He was at the table playing with clay and Legos. It was great.
And I have photos. In case anyone doesn't believe us. And he even participated in the skit that Scott had everyone do at the end, you know, and had little scripted lines that he read. And it was incredible to see a leader really, truly participating to show how it's done.
Well, and that's just the sign of a good leader, because, you know, anybody who has ever worked for him, who had seen him doing that, would have been like, this is amazing that he is still willing to play. He still has that childlike curiosity, and he recognizes that that is what leads to creativity. So, yes, kudos to Greg Hale. Congratulations. That's awesome. As well as the other two new inductees. But please find out more about those on the link in the show notes, because we are out of time. That's it. That's our 30 minutes right there. So, guys, thank you so very much for listening. Again, if you're listening and you're enjoying the show, please review us. That helps so much. It gets the word out. It helps us. It helps you. It helps spread the word that we are sharing here in the attractions industry. You can also subscribe. And if you want more information, please check out greentaggedshow.com. And Philip, any closing words?
Thank you to those people that have already reviewed us. We do have four reviews that are there, and we have some ones that actually wrote. You know, it's fine if you're pressed on time to just go in and click the review and not write anything. That's totally fine. We'll take it. But I love reading the reviews from people that give descriptions, and that's been so fun to hear in people's own words what they think. So that's been great. Thank you.
Excellent. Until next week, this is Scott Swenson and Philip Hernandez with Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. See ya.
That was Green Tagged Theme Park in 30 from Scott Swenson and I. Green Tagged has its own feed that you can find anywhere podcasts are available. And I will be back in your feeds on Tuesday with our regular haunt news briefing. Stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.